of Joshua. It can be found in the Pew Bibles on page 216. And it's the first 9 verses. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will be extended from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Thank you very much, Alan. Alan? yeah, you were Alan as well, aren't you? Yeah. It's great to be together this morning, isn't it? Now, my bag of tricks. Will you excuse me just a moment? Ah, there we are. Last week we read the same portion of scripture. It was on my mind initially just for 1 week, but then when Chris asked me to do the second week, it was good because... Well, good for me because there was so much really in that portion that I wanted to draw out, but with the restraints of time and so on. I did 2 last week, and I'd like to do a further 2 this week. What we looked at last week was this, that Joshua is on the verge of leading the people into the land that God had given them. He's very apprehensive. He's a little bit scared. And God very graciously comes to him because he knew how he was feeling. And he said, look, don't be apprehensive. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. And he said this amazing thing. Just as I was with Moses, my servant who is now dead, so I will be with you. And I want you to follow me. I will lead you into this land. I want you to follow after me. And when I speak, obey my voice. Now, how do we know God is speaking? How do we know when God is speaking to us? And how do we know what he is saying? Well, he has given us, and he gave Joshua this wonderful, wonderful gift of his word. This is God's word. This is God's message to us. This is God's voice to us. When we read God's word, it is God speaking to us. It is timeless. and no word of God is fulfilled by its historic events. It is for now as well as for then. And he said to Joshua, this book that I have given you, don't let it depart from you. Meditate upon it. Think about it. And be careful to observe everything that is written in it. Then you will make great progress. Then you will experience the things that I have for you. And last week we thought, well, what is God saying to us in his word that he really wants us to grasp? And for Joshua, it was, Joshua, just remember who you are. You are an Israelite. You are one of my people. You are mine. I am yours. I've saved you from slavery. I've brought you out of slavery. And I'm leading you into a glorious inheritance. I don't want you to ever forget that. That was the first thing we looked at last week. And the second thing was this. Now that you are a child of God, know what is expected of you. Live as if you are a child of God. I don't want you to be one with the world and its ways and its standards and its ambitions. You are different, Joshua. Israel is different. You belong to me. You follow me. And we thought about that a little bit last week. This week, two more things I'd like to draw out very, very briefly. And this is the third thing, really, in that little series. The third thing is this. Joshua, in your heart's desire to follow me, you are going to make mistakes. It's not a question of if, perchance, at some time you will make a mistake. Joshua, you are human after all, and you will make mistakes. You will do wrong things. You will say wrong things. You will have wrong attitudes. You will go astray. I know you will. And Joshua, I want you to always remember this, that when you do wrong, when you make those mistakes, just come back to me. Don't let those things become a barrier, because they are barriers. Don't let them build up between us. Come back to me and own up to what you've done and ask for forgiveness. And Joshua, I've made provision for you that you will be forgiven. Joshua, remember all that elaborate ceremony and procedure that I gave to Moses about when people sin, they were to do this, that, and the other. And if they did that sincerely from their heart, I would forgive them. Joshua, remember that. I've gone over it time and time again in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the five books that you have. I've spelt it out quite clearly that there is a path of forgiveness. In other words, what God was saying to Joshua at this time was, keep short accounts with God. Don't let things build up between you and God. If you know something has happened that is not right, well, with God's grace and his help, seek to put it right, so that the relationship will be restored and then you can go on in unity together. We were thinking about ourselves as a church on the verge of this new chapter in our church's life. And like Joshua, we might be feeling, all sorts of thoughts might be going on in our heads, a little bit of apprehension. What does the future hold? You know, how much time will it take and so on before a new minister arrives and so on and so on and so on. And it's like as if God is saying to us, yeah, but I know how you feel because I know all things. But remember who you are. You are my child. I am your God. Remember, we are locked in covenant agreement together. I'm not going to fail you. I'm not going to let you down. In this interim, until such time as we arrive, I want you to just keep walking with me, walking in my footsteps, doing what is right, doing what is expected of you as my people. I want you to be my people, which will mean, yes, being a little bit different to the crowds around, but be strong. Don't be afraid sometimes to be different for the right reason. And then, I know, God would say to us too, I know you'll make mistakes. I know you'll trip up here and there. I know you'll say things which you'll regret pretty quickly afterwards. And I know sometimes your attitude won't be the best. But I've made provision for all that. I've made it possible for when you do wrong, that you can come back to me. It needn't be a barrier that separates us. I want you to keep short accounts with me, so that the relationship is always real and meaningful, and that we are not cut off from each other. And see, what God is saying about our relationship with Him, He's also saying to us about our relationship with one another. Like, we're all so different. And it's not as if there might be an issue here or there, or there might be a problem now and again. That's not reality. The reality is that there will be issues between us. There will be problems now and again. There will be difficulties. But God is saying this to us. Listen, you are my people. You belong to the same family. Don't let anything remain a problem. Seek with God's help to resolve it. Keep short accounts, not only with me, your Heavenly Father, but keep short accounts with each other, so that nothing will spoil the fellowship. Nothing will creep in and cause a difficulty. Keep short account. You know what happens in human relationships? I might have something against somebody, okay? Or they might have something against me, right? We can resolve it, but what happens if we don't resolve it? Invariably, it gets bigger. And invariably, we get bitter. And the problem becomes huge instead of it being, in the beginning, quite small. Keep short accounts. In our Christian walk, with each other and with our God, let us keep short accounts with God. And we know we have that wonderful promise which we often quote in our opening prayer of confession, that when we confess our sin and come to God confessing our sin, He is righteous and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and the relationship is restored. And the last point is this. The fourth thing, which is Moses, Joshua, you're going in now. You're on the verge of it, boy. You're going in. Remember who you are. Know what's expected of you. Always keep a right relationship with God and with your fellow man. And Joshua, go in and stand. Stand on the promises of God. And the promise to you, Joshua, is this. I am making this promise to you now, Joshua, which I think is absolutely wonderful. Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I'm going to be with you. I've just dwelt on that. I'd like to dwell on it for a few more minutes now. I've asked myself, well, how was God with Moses? How did God lead Moses? And Moses followed him. Well, the first thing I'd like to mention is this. He certainly helped him with his own weakness and his own problems. I was reading in Exodus chapter 3 when God first appeared to Moses. And he said, Moses, there's my people in Egypt and they are slaves. I want you to go down into Egypt. I want you to see Pharaoh. And I'm going to give you the message for Pharaoh, which basically is, I'm leading my people out to a land I'm going to give them. Let them go. And Moses said, what? What? He said, Moses is out in the desert looking after sheep. He said, who am I? These are the words of Moses. Who am I? Who am I that I should go down into Egypt to see Pharaoh? And God said to him, well, Moses, I'm going to be with you. But God, I'm slow of speech. I'm not eloquent. I'm sure there's other people that you can ask to do this. Moses, I want you. And I'm going to give you this promise. I'm going to be with you. And God says to Joshua, you know, Moses wasn't a very confident person. And he tried to persuade me to send somebody else. But I gave him all that he needed. I was with him every step of the way. I led him. All I asked Moses to do was to trust me, and I will not fail you. And I believe, really believe this with all my heart, that God would say to Gracewell Presbyterian Church, and he would say to every believer this morning, is this. As I helped Moses, with all his shortcomings, with all his feelings of inferiority, and I can't do this, and don't ask me to do that, with all those feelings going around in his head, as God helped him, so he will help us. Isn't that lovely? As God helped Moses, so he's going to help you. So he will help me. The other thing, he provided for Moses' needs. See, Moses followed God, and he said, right, God, I'm going to stand on that promise, and I'm going to go down to Egypt, and I'm going to lead these people out. Conservative estimates that there was 2 million of them. 2 million people came out of Egypt. Moses was, he was run off his feet. He was doing this, he was doing that, he was doing the other. He was wearing himself out. His father-in-law, Jethro, came to visit him one day. He was from Midian. And Jethro stood back and he watched Moses, and these people were coming to him with their problems, and then another crowd came to him with their problems, and somebody was asking him something else. And Jethro called Moses aside one day and he said, hey, Moses, let me have a quiet word in your ear. Do you know if you carry on like this, you're going to wear yourself out? And Moses said, well, what can I do about it? God has called me to lead these people out, and this is what it entails. What can I do about it? And Jethro gave him some sound advice. He said, look, he said, people are coming to you asking you trivial questions, like, my shoes are wet. Need changing, although that's a bad example because their shoes never wore out. You know, something trivial, okay? Something trivial. And Moses was involving himself in these little matters as well. And Jethro said to him, look, Moses, somebody else can look after that. You don't have to be bothered with little minor family squabbles and details. Let Well, here's a plan, Moses. Divide the people up into groups of 50 and have somebody look after each 50. All right? And you'll be much better off. Isn't it lovely that we have the same God who looked after Moses through his servant Jethro, and he's going to look after us. And perhaps the last few months, the last, going on for 2 years now, isn't it? The last 2 years, perhaps some people have, it's just been a heavy load, one thing after another. And we thank God for those people who've stepped up to the plate and have said, okay, I'll do that. But our Heavenly Father knows we need somebody. He knows we need help. And he'll provide the right person for the job. Isn't that comforting? It's not a shot in the dark. It's not left a chance. Our God is God. He is sovereign. And he will provide for us. Now that doesn't mean to say that once the new person comes, then we just go, whew, we're on holiday. We're not on holiday. We need help. But God still calls us each one in different ways with our different gifts to serve him, to use them for his glory. He guided him, Moses, and he will guide us through this whole process and beyond. But here's another thing. And this is a little bit challenging for us all, very challenging for me. It's that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you, Joshua. So don't rule out the supernatural. We are God's people. And God can do miracles. And God can do amazing things. Now us, with our living by sight mentality and our logic, it's very hard to really come to terms with that sometimes. But as Christians, we move in the realm very often of the impossible. Ask Moses. The amazing things that Moses saw and witnessed, God did for him. Joshua, I'm going to do the same for you. And God would say to Greystones Presbyterian Church this morning, as I was with Moses and as I was with Joshua, so I will be with you. And just like they saw amazing things happen, I can do amazing things for you too, who follow me. Miracles. Now that stretches our faith. But he follows Joshua. And just a couple of chapters later, you read it. They came to Jericho. Two chariots could pass side by side on its walls. The walls were huge. And God gave Joshua a plan. It seemed ridiculous. But Joshua believed God. Joshua believed that God is God and nothing is impossible with him. So Joshua marched around the city, and on the seventh day he marched around seven times around the city, and the priests blew their trumpets and the walls fell down. Now to the human mind, that's ridiculous. As I was with Joshua, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. He says the same to us. And then he goes on to say that your territory, I will give you every place where you set your foot. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river to the great sea on the west. No one, Joshua, will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. So basically, Joshua, you're a winner. You're on the winning side, Joshua. No one will be able to stand before you. The end is not in doubt. I will lead you to your home. That's not in question. No one will be able to stand before you. It's great when we know the end result, isn't it? I tell you what now, a little break in the study there. I tell you what. It's coming up to that most dreadful time of the year. The Six Nations Championship. I can't stand it. But I tell you what I like doing. And you won't believe this, but you'd have to believe it. When the match is on, you know what I do? I go down the mirror for a walk. And when I come back, I just get out my phone and have a little sneak at the result. And if they've won, Wales, I mean, if they've won, then I, do you know what I do then? Then I watch the match. And I love it because whatever's happening, you know, somebody might get sent off into the sin bin or whatever, or the other side might score few tries in the opening few minutes. If I know we've won, I can watch it and enjoy it. We're on the winning side. Doesn't matter what happens in these 80 minutes, we're going to win. And that's what God said to Joshua. Joshua, here you are. You're on the verge of this new chapter. Be excited, man. You're going to go in and you're going to win. And nobody will be able to stand before you. In a small Bible study group, I heard this story once that the Bible study leader said to his group, they just come to the end of one study, and he said to them, "Now, group," he said, "next week we're going to start a study in Revelation." So he said, "I want you to read Revelation by next Tuesday. And then we'll start our study in Revelation." Next Tuesday came and all the group met together, and they were all there with long faces. So the leaders went round. He said, "Well, let's have your views now on Revelation." And didn't understand it at all. It was a bit of a mystery to me. And they all went round and they're all negative. "Oh, it's a very hard book. Why are we studying this book?" Came to one man and his face was beaming. And the leader said, "Well, what's the matter with you?" He said, "In the end, we win. We win in the end. Oh, there's so much I can't understand, but we win." Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." And I end with this great verse that Paul wrote to the Romans. Listen to this. And may this be the case for us now. It's in 15:4. "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." Isn't that lovely? God told us those stories. He had them written down about Moses. He had that Joshua chapter 1 verses 1 to 9 written down for us, so that we might be encouraged through the scriptures and face our future with great hope. May it be so, for his name's sake. Amen. Now we're going to sing our